Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, I just thank you for each person that is here. I thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to worship, to praise you. And Lord, I ask that this morning we get out of our own way. Lord, that whatever we're holding on to, whatever those burdens are, whatever that stuff is that's going on in the world around us, that we may just set them to the side, we may lift up our eyes, and we may look to you for our hope and for our future. Lord, may we just surrender to you this morning and lean in to what you have for us. Lord, I thank you for the way that you hear our prayers. I thank you for allowing us to gather in this way. And may it bring you honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, let's go ahead and stand.
Sacrifice was made.
that's how you kick off Palm Sunday. I was planning on saying something else at this moment, but I think I'm going to change it up just a second here. You know, every Sunday we set aside time to pray for those who don't know Jesus. This morning, I'm reminded how blessed we are with all these little ones.
Yes. Yes.
And though I want us to continue praying for those who don't know Jesus, that are walking around this world with no understanding of who he is, this morning, I also want to pray for our children and the blessing that they are to us, not just as families, but as a church family, as a congregation, that we're so blessed to have them here with us each and every week. So let's take some time, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and just thank him for our many blessings. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, and Lord, I thank you for the great honor and a privilege that we have as parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, to raise up these young ones. Lord, we pray for a blessing in their life. Father, that they may come to know who you are, not just things about you, but come to know you, to walk with you. Lord, may you give us the wisdom that we need as we lead them. May we be good examples for them. And Lord, may you rise up mighty warriors through them. Father, we know they're the next generation to reach the world. And we take this responsibility not lightly. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This song is all about overcoming whatever we have going on in our life, that God gives us the strength. So when you're facing difficulties, I ask that you would raise up a hallelujah. And the storm will disappear. And the focus just on his face. Sing this song with me. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a
praises roar up from the air.
sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
No matter what you're facing, sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Come on, do it again. Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Thank you. Spirit is my help. He'll fix my eyes on Jesus Christ. I'll say that it is well. Oh, I know that.
Anxiety hates
shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me by still waters, till my fears are gone. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I know you are with me, my Father, my friend, your goodness and mercy will follow me all of my days. I know by your still waters I'm safe. Lord, I believe you can set me at ease, turn this broken piece of me to peace and quiet. Still waters, till my fears are gone. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, oh, I know you are with me, my Father, my friend. Your goodness and mercy will follow me all of my days. I know by your still waters still waters run through any valley I could find. I may in fear down here at heaven's riverside. Your word has been true in every season of my life. I believe, yes, I believe.
Still waters run. Shadow of death, oh, I know you are with me, my Father, my friend. Your goodness and mercy will follow me all of my days.
I know by your still waters I'm safe. You are my shepherd, I shall not want. You lead me beside still waters. You quiet my soul. You guide me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, church. It's good to be here with each and every one of you this morning as we kick off Holy Week. And I just want to welcome our guests that are here this morning. I want to also welcome those joining us online and the radio. We are truly thankful for each of you. But before we dive into our sermon this morning and we take a look at God's Word and what He has for us, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for the opportunity for us to come together as believers in Christ and to worship You and to praise You. And Father, just to learn more about You. Lord, I ask that this morning it is Your words that are spoken and not my own. Lord, I pray that if I say anything that is not of You, that it may fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, we pray that it penetrate even the hardest of hearts. And Lord, that we may grow in wisdom and knowledge. That we may grow with passion for You. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this morning as we kick off Easter week, this entire season, I'm reminded that this is a time of new beginnings. It's a time for us to remember that Jesus can make all things new again. And throughout this week, not only are we going to celebrate that Jesus came, but we're going to be celebrating what Jesus came to do. And we start the celebration this morning with Palm Sunday, remembering the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Then come this Thursday, we'll be celebrating the Last Supper that Jesus had with His disciples. And it's a service that we call Maundy Thursday. And then come Friday, it's Good Friday. And we pause and reflect on the fact that Jesus was crucified on the cross, bearing our sins. But come next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating the fact that the grave could not hold Him. That Jesus is alive and He made a way where there was no other way. On top of that, next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating what Jesus has been doing in lives of others. And we're going to be having baptisms. And if that's something that you're interested in, please come talk to me or Pastor Kerwin or sign up out there so we can talk to you, because it's going to be a celebration next week. And I hope you guys are as ready for it as I am, because what a week that lays before us. What a time of remembrance. Now this morning, though, we're going to be looking at Palm Sunday, and it's Jesus entering into Jerusalem. It's Jesus heading to the cross. And so Jesus knew what was going on, and He knew what lay before Him. The people around Jesus didn't understand what was going to happen. They didn't know that Jesus was ultimately heading for the cross. In their minds, they were ushering in a new king, at least so they hoped. A new kingdom that they were bringing in, that the prophets had told them about all these years before. And they were excited for what was coming. I mean, the atmosphere in the air would have been overwhelming because of this excitement. The Bible tells us that the people were shouting and celebrating, that they were waving palm branches around, just like our little kids did this morning as they came in. This entire triumphant entry of Jesus would have looked like a victory parade for a king who just came back from a great battle. But there's a part of a story of this story we don't often talk about. There's a part of this story that we can just kind of gloss over quickly whenever we get to Palm Sunday. You see, right in the middle of the celebration, right in the middle of the people shouting and praising Jesus inside of this moment, right in the middle of what looked like triumph to the world around Him, Jesus stops. And He looks over to the city of Jerusalem and He begins to weep. Now, this is not just a single tear rolling down His cheek either. This is a deep emotional moment for Him. The Greek word in the Bible that the Bible uses describes this as this deep, audible sorrow that Jesus cries out. And it brings about a question that I don't think that we can just ignore this morning and as we go through this passage. Why would Jesus weep in a moment like this? Why would Jesus weep when they're celebrating Him all around Him? But the reality is that Jesus was the only one that understood what was about to happen. Everyone else thought they understood what was right in front of them, but they were actually missing it. It's a reminder that we can be close to Jesus and still miss what He's doing right in front of us. So let's dive in this morning and take a look at this story together. We'll be over in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 44 for anybody who wants to follow along. And the first part of this passage, we're going to move through fairly quickly just to set the stage for what's to come. The passage opens in verse 28 where it says, "When he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem." Jesus is wrapping up his earthly ministry inside of this moment, and he's heading into Jerusalem, and he's heading for the cross. You could almost call it the final act. Now, of course, none of the disciples or the people around Jesus fully understood what was coming. In fact, they had no idea what would happen in just a few short days. The only thing that they knew is that the Passover week was in front of them, that they were heading to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, to remember how God had rescued the Israelites from the grips of Egypt all those years ago. They could never have imagined how this week was going to end. In just a few short days, their whole life was about to be flipped upside down. In a week, they would have a new rescue story to celebrate. In their minds, they were heading for Jerusalem, but Jesus knew he was heading for the cross. It tells us in verse 29, as he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. So as Jesus is heading to Jerusalem, he comes up into the Mount of Olives. Now, this is the central peak of three that rise up to the east of Jerusalem. You can still see it to this day. And from that vantage point, Jesus could look down and see all across the Kidron Valley. He could see the city of Jerusalem. He could see the Temple Mount from that location. It's here that we have this imagery of Jesus standing there with the holy city at his feet. And it's at this moment that he sent two of his disciples ahead. And it tells us in verse 30 through 35, and he said, "Go into the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent left and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying this colt?' 'The Lord needs it,' they said. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their clothes on the colt, they helped Jesus get on it." I don't believe the disciples fully understood the significance of this moment. I don't think they understood what was happening right in front of them. You see, it was 500 years before Jesus was born. The prophet Zechariah wrote about this very event that was happening. They wrote about how the Messiah would ride the donkey that had never been ridden before into Jerusalem. It's recorded in Zechariah chapter 9. And what a powerful moment that had to be, to witness the fulfillment of prophecy before their eyes, yet they didn't understand it right away. To be fair, how often does God do things in front of us that we don't always understand what he's doing inside of that moment? Well, after the disciples got the donkey and they brought it to Jesus, they helped him get on it and they began to ride ahead into the city. And it's here that the crowds are waiting for Jesus. They're waiting to celebrate their coming king, or at least what they hope would be the next king. So as Jesus draws close to the city, it tells us in verse 36 through 38 that as he was going along, they were spreading their clothes on the road. Now he came near the path down the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest heaven. Hosanna in the highest." This is excitement. The king had finally arrived. After all of these years waiting, he was there. I can't even begin to imagine the energy and the atmosphere that would have been there, that Jesus riding towards the city, the amount of celebration at this coming king and that he had come. Yet through all of this, we need to remember that the volume of their praise did not equal the depth of their understanding. I mean, the people were loud, but they were blind about what was happening as well. You know, just because you scream something loud enough and often enough doesn't mean that you're right or that you understand what's going on. It just means you can yell. We need to remember that Jesus' disciples and those in the crowd had seen Jesus perform many miracles. You know, they'd watched him turn water into wine. They had seen Jesus make the lame to walk again, the blind to see again. They had heard the stories about all the people that were healed and affected by Jesus' ministry here on earth. And then on top of that, the crowd would have heard Jesus' teaching many times before. And the Bible describes his teaching as someone who taught like no other teacher. He spoke with authority. He spoke with power. They understood there was something special about Jesus, that there was something special about this man that came from Nazareth. But the problem came down to the fact that they misunderstood the purpose of Jesus' coming. You see, in their mind, Jesus had come to overthrow the Roman government, to restore Israel back to the way it had been under King David and King Solomon, to rise up this new empire where Israel would be the dominant force in the world once again. We have to remember in their minds, Jesus was coming to fix their external problems. They looked at all the things that were happening around them and just thought that's what they needed a new king for, was just to fix that. But the reality is, Jesus came to fix a much deeper issue that they were facing. Something that cuts deeper than just the problems that we face externally. Jesus came to deal with our sin. He came to restore us back into relationship with our Heavenly Father. He came to bring us true peace, something that this world can never give us. And they missed it. They missed what was right in front of them. I mean, yes, they were celebrating the right person. I think we can all agree celebrating Jesus is a good thing. It's something that we should all do, but they were celebrating Jesus for the wrong reasons. Church, if we're honest with ourselves, we can still do the same thing to this very day. You know, we can be in church every Sunday and still miss Jesus. We can sing all the songs about him and how much he loves us and how we love him, but still not know who he is. You know, we can raise our hands up high and make a joyful noise. We can say all the right words. We can go through all the right motions of faith and still not truly see who he is. You know, in the Bible, over in Matthew chapter 7, it tells us, this is a paraphrase, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that in your name? Only for Jesus to look at them at the end and say, depart from me, I never knew you. You know, it's easy to sit in church service and have this emotional moment, this overwhelming sense of the power of God, the kind of moment that I'm sure many of us in here have had where you're just sitting there and it just you know God is there and he's working inside of your life. And we can have those throughout our lives at different moments, but that's still not the same as being transformed from the inside out. We have to remember that transformation process is a process that God works within our hearts. It's about seeking him daily is how we have that transformation. It's about spending time with him in prayer. It's about being in his word. It's not just going through the motions and showing up. It's actually allowing him to transform you from the inside out. Now, don't get me wrong. If you've had one of those powerful moments, those are great. I've had those. Those can be reaffirming inside of our faith, but that in and of itself isn't what transforms us. It's only what Jesus did on the cross that transforms us. It's him working inside of our lives. And that brings us to a question that we have to ask ourselves in moments like this. Do I really know who Jesus is, or am I just responding to the moment of how I feel? Because we're called to actually know him, not just know things about him, to be in relationship with him. I want you to think about like young relationships and relationships you may have even had prior to being with your spouse or whatever. You get this overwhelming excitement in the beginning, right? And you get to know somebody and you're building that relationships and you got those butterflies. And well, after a while, you have to continue to tend to that relationship if you want that to continue. And that's the same thing with Jesus. We actually have to pursue him daily for that relationship. There are many people who know things about Jesus. The Pharisees, for example, that were there, they knew things about Jesus as well, just as the crowds did. But they didn't celebrate Jesus, did they? They didn't celebrate him all. In fact, it says that they rebuked him in this moment. In verse 39 and 40, it tells us, so some of the Pharisees from the crowd told him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered, I tell you that if they were to keep silence, the stones would cry out. They were not happy with Jesus and were telling him to go rebuke. They rebuked him to go rebuke. You know, I always find the Pharisees so fascinating within the scripture. And the reason I find them so fascinating is because they knew things about God. I mean, they were the keepers of the law. They would have been looked at as good church members. They were called to lead Israel in all things spiritual. They were supposed to be the smart guys. Yet because they only knew things about God and didn't actually have a relationship with God, they missed the very Messiah standing right in front of them. Just as the crowds were celebrating Jesus, they knew things about Jesus, but they didn't fully understand what he came to do. And this is that moment where the whole story changes. You know, a lot of times this is kind of where we leave Palm Sunday. But it tells us in verse 41, as he approached and saw the city, he wept for it. It's here that Jesus approaches the city, that final approach, and everything begins to slow down. I mean, the crowds around Jesus were still cheering for him. They were still celebrating the fact that he was there. But Jesus sees something that they don't. He understands something that they don't know. He looks up and he sees the city and he begins to weep. The Greek word here means way more than just some tears running down his cheek. It's more of a lament. It's a deep gut level sorrow that Jesus is experiencing in this moment. It's him sobbing as he's looking at the city. He's heartbroken. Which brings about that question of why. Why would Jesus cry at a moment like this? Why would he be so heartbroken in a moment like this? Well, he actually answers that very question in the next verse. He says in verse 42, saying, if you knew this day would bring peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is you're celebrating, but you don't understand what's to come. You're excited, but you're missing it. You know, the people of Israel wanted peace at that time, but they defined it the wrong way. They thought peace meant freedom from Rome. They thought peace meant that they would have their own worldly government once again, that they would be able to rise up and have this nation for themselves. But Jesus understood that true peace meant being reconciled with God once again. He understood what it took to get there as well. He understood the only way this would happen was through the cross. You know, the people around Jesus were looking for an outward change. They were looking for a change in their circumstances in life, but Jesus was looking for an inward transformation for their lives. You know, when we have peace with God, the outside stuff doesn't bother us as much. We can walk through the deepest of valleys and the darkest of places when we have peace with God because we know he is carrying us each step of the way. You know, they understood that he was someone that was sent by God, but they didn't recognize him for who he truly was. They didn't understand that he was the Messiah, the Lord of Lords, God himself. They missed the very thing they were crying out for, and this broke Jesus' heart. Just as it breaks his heart every time we miss him. I want you to understand, Jesus didn't weep because they rejected him. He wept because they didn't recognize him. I'm going to say that one more time. Jesus didn't weep because they rejected him. He wept because they didn't recognize him. This is a powerful moment for us to understand as we walk into Easter week. As we walk into this moment of remembering what Jesus did on the cross. Because it means that we can be near Jesus and still not know him. That we can be surrounded by truth and still miss it. We can hear the message of the cross. We can hear about what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago to restore us back to our Heavenly Father and still never allow it to transform our lives. It's kind of like having the cure for whatever ails you right in front of you but refusing to take the medicine because you don't want to fully trust the doctor that this is the right way to do it. You know, the world around us is still searching for peace. Some of you here this morning are still searching for peace. You're searching for joy. You can't turn on the news without hearing wars or rumors of wars. You can't turn on the news without hearing about families being torn apart. You walk anywhere inside of our community and you can see people searching for peace, searching for joy for their lives. And they're all looking in the wrong places. You know, there's people that look to their relationships for that peace, for that hope. They believe that they can find just the right person, they will suddenly have this overwhelming sense of joy. You have other people who are constantly looking for more money, and they think that if they could only make a little bit more money, they'll have peace, and they throw themselves at their careers. All these things and more people search the world for, only to come up empty-handed every time. But real peace, real joy, is found in Christ and Christ alone. And that's because we don't often want to surrender our plans to Him. We don't want to have to surrender our lives to Him. We want to do things our own way. You know, sometimes the right way is right in front of us, but we miss it, just as the people who were with Jesus missed Him. This happens because we become so focused on things of this world that we don't even recognize what God is doing right in front of us. Then after Jesus had pointed out that they were missing it, He says something even more sobering in this moment, and He begins to explain what's going to happen to Jerusalem. He says in verse 43 and 44, "For the day will come to you when your enemies will build a barricade around you, surround you, and hem you in every side. They will crush you and your children among you to the ground, and they will not leave one stone on another in your midst, because you did not recognize the time when God visited you." You know, it's here that we see Jesus talking about the total destruction of Jerusalem. He's talking about the destruction of the temple that is to come. This is going to be a devastating blow for the people of Israel. And here's the thing, it actually happened in 70 AD. And Jesus gave them a reason why this would happen at the end of 44 when He said, "Because you didn't recognize the time that God visited you." This happened because they didn't recognize who Jesus was. Another way of putting it is they had a moment and they missed it. This passage is telling us something very important, something very heavy that we need to recognize within our own lives. There are moments in our lives when God is moving in very specific ways, as Jesus was in this moment. There are moments when He's calling to us. There are moments when He's speaking to us. And there are moments when He's inviting us to respond. And if we ignore those moments, we can miss something significant that God is trying to do. Let me elaborate a little bit further. Maybe there's been a moment when you feel very convicted. Have you ever sat through a service or talking to a friend and you suddenly feel very convicted inside of that moment? You know, it's something in your life. You know something in your life needs to change. You know that God is trying to deal with your heart. He's trying to call you back to Him, but you keep pushing Him away. Or maybe there's a moment where God is calling you to take that next step, to forgive someone that's done you wrong, to let go of something that you've been holding on to, to trust Him in a new way. But for some reason, you keep delaying in that response, missing a moment that God with God doesn't happen because God wasn't there. Missing a moment with Him happens because we don't respond. Instead, we just ignore it. Here's what makes our story this morning so tragic. This is why Jesus was weeping. The people in Jerusalem were so close to Him, yet so far away. They had seen Jesus. They had seen the miracles that He had performed. They had heard the good news about Jesus. They'd even celebrated Jesus, but they still missed Him. Let us remember that being close to Jesus is not the same as knowing Jesus. You know, we can grow up in church. We can surround ourselves with Christian people. We can know all the words to use. We can even know all the Bible stories and be able to quote different scriptures, but still not surrender our lives fully to Him. You can be almost there and still miss it. You know, there's nothing more dangerous in life than almost. Almost believing, almost surrendering, almost following. I know sometimes almost feels good, close enough, but at the end of the day, almost won't cut it. I know today we kick off Holy Week with Palm Sunday, but let me remind you that Palm Sunday is not just a historical event. It's a mirror for us to use to look into ourselves, to show us ourselves, because we have to answer the same questions that the crowd had faced 2,000 years ago. What are we going to do with Jesus? Are we just going to be part of the crowd and get caught up in the moment, but never truly respond to him, calling us back to him? Or will we recognize Jesus for who he truly is? Not just a good teacher, not just a miracle worker, not just someone who can help us when we need something, but will we recognize him as Lord and Savior and the King of our lives? So here's my challenge to you this week. Don't miss your moment. If God is speaking to you today, respond. If he's calling out to you, say yes. If there's something you need to surrender to him, do it. There will be people up here shortly to pray with you at the end of service, because the greatest tragedy in life is not rejecting Jesus outright. The greatest tragedy in life is missing him when he's right in front of you. So what are you going to do with Jesus today and this week? Are you going to hand it over to him, or are you going to be almost there? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, I thank you for the reminder of your word. Father, I thank you that you're always there, willing and waiting for us. Lord, may we not just be almost people, but may we be all in people. Father, may we surrender whatever we're holding on to, whatever's holding us back. May we just lay that at the feet of the cross, remembering what your son did. Father, I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss what your son has done. Father, help me draw closer. Help each of us draw closer to know who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's go ahead and stand. As we sing this song, feel free to come up to the altar. Ron and Kathy are up here willing to pray for you.
I'm facing mountains so high that I can barely see. You did not promise there won't be pain or suffering. Here in the valley is where I find you on my knees, so I can still say hallelujah in the hard things. You are my strength. Find me in the heartache, blessing your name. Even when the whole world's not going my way, I can still say, Lord, I can still say, hallelujah in the hard things in the hard things. Hallelujah in the hard things in the hard things. So I can still say, hallelujah in the hard things, you are my strength. Find me in the heartache, blessing your name. Even when the whole world's not going my way, I can still say, Lord, I can still say, hallelujah in the hard things in the hard things. Hallelujah in the hard things. God, you are working. God, you are working.
You're working all things
for good.
Oh,
God, you are working. God, you are working.
are my strength. Find me in the heartache, pressing your name. Even when the whole world's not going my way, I can still say, Lord, I can still say, hallelujah in the hard things. You are my strength. Find me in the heartache, pressing your name. Even when the whole world's not going my way, I can still say, Lord, I can still say, hallelujah in the hard things. Hard things in the hard things. Hallelujah in the hard things. Hard things in the hard things.
Hard things, hard things in the hard things. You are working all things, all things, working all things. You are working all things, all things.
As we head out this week, I want to encourage you to search your hearts and see what you're holding back from God today and to hand it over to Him. He can carry any burden that you can imagine. Because I'm going to tell you right now, He's calling out to each and every one of you because He wants that deeper relationship with you. And don't miss it. Remember that He loves you, He cherishes you, and He wants that relationship with you.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.